from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
There you go. Little, blind melon?
Correct.
Well, James is saying the Phillies are struggling to hit the ball. Is that what it is here, James?
No, it's just a good song I wanted to play.
I thought he was saying your life is pretty strange.
Well, that's true.
Good. Yeah. I like that. Like
well
that.
Done. Whose life isn't kind of strange? I mean,
oh, plain. Okay, it's not strange.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, speaking of music, I need someone to weigh in if you were there two nights ago, and he's going to have another concert tonight. Bruce Springsteen, the boss, in town. And if you saw him on Wednesday night, what'd you make of it? So mid-70s now for the boss.
I'll be there tonight.
Oh, really?
Yes. The father-in-law, me, and the wife, we're going. So.
The wife, the father-in-law, and you.
And then the sister. So four.
Your wife's sister or the father-in-law's sister?
My wife's sister.
I noticed that you started with the father-in-law.
Yes.
Does that freak you out a little bit?
Yeah, but also...
Seltzer, isn't that a little weird? Instead of saying, like, my wife...
And her father,
her dad,
and
well,
okay. sister,
he's like the
yeah.
father-in-law.
Yeah,
agreed. Something's not right there.
But it's because he bought the tickets. That's why. I'm giving him credit for going first.
The Bruce fan of
yeah,
the crew.
He's the Bruce fan.
Elliot, okay. You don't. No offense, you don't strike me as a big Bruce.
No, fan. I'm not a big Bruce yeah. guy. Yeah, I know Born to Run or whatever. That one.
That's it.
I know that
that's
one.
The one.
I know Born to Run.
Yeah.
All right. 215-592-9494. But if anyone has seen Bruce. From earlier this week. Let us know. Also, Lane Johnson, we've seen him for about a decade now with the Birds. He commented this week on his future, what he said, how long his mindset. We'll get to that shortly. Phils lose last night. They dropped 2 of 3 of the Braves, 30-34 since that flight to London. And I got Elliot this morning telling me that they've lost the magic. I say they've lost the innocence. I view it a little different. Town looks at them differently. I don't think they've lost the magic yet because I think that will be defined totally by October. But obviously, they're not playing good baseball right now. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. John in Allentown. What's up, John?
What's up? Elliot, I'm sorry, man. Sorry about you going to see Bruce. I saw him a couple years ago, man.
Yeah?
Somebody took me. All I can tell
it?
You about boring.
Boring. Are you not a Bruce, not a Bruce guy, I'm guessing?
I'm not a jam. I'm not a guy who could sit there and listen to a song for 10 minutes, man. I can't.
Yeah, not going to lie, me either. So,
you gotta
but I'm excited.
You got to go,
wait,
you
Bruce
know,
has 10
four
minutes
or 5
on.
Minutes. That's...
Yeah, I'm a big believer concert should be like an hour. Just play the hits and get in, get out.
Yeah, there were several of them situations where I'm like, it's just 12 minutes now. We're in the same, is this the same song? You're like, what?
All right, well, I'm excited for tonight. Thank you for the heads up.
I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. Guys, Dotson, I'm excited about that. Haven't been excited too much this year about the Eagles. You know, I want to see, you know, regular season football already. But Dotson, I've got to see him playing college a lot because I go to a lot of Penn State games. So, good hands, solid hands, good quickness inside and out. I think he'll be a great addition, man.
I sure hope so. Look, it should be pretty easy for him, John, from the standpoint of he's going to be out there with so much talent, it's ridiculous. So if he can't succeed to a decent extent with this group, then he's never going to succeed.
Agreed.
I also think, just quickly, they've done a good job evaluating receivers recently. Like, trading for A.J., we can look at it now and go, well, duh, it's A.J. Brown. But, I mean, that was a good evaluation on their part. Devontae was not a popular pick at the time at number 10. Like, he was viewed as too skinny. So, if like, Sirianni, Howie, and the scouting department think Dotson's a good trade for that third, I do think they get the benefit of the doubt on that position.
Well, I'm not giving Sirianni any credit. I do obviously agree with the rest of the statement. Yeah.
All right, John, give me an answer here for what had a moment.
Can I just tell you about the Phillies real quick? Just real quick.
Yep.
I'm taking a weekend off because I need to get right because they're great, making me nuts. That's what I'm going to tell you about the Phillies. I'm just taking the whole weekend off, and hopefully they do something good this weekend.
I get it.
Hopefully they don't do that.
Yeah, but I get it. All right, what had a moment, John?
Dude, MySpace had a moment.
Yes,
sure
it did.
Did, buddy.
Yes, yeah. It did. That's a really good answer.
I wonder what Tom's up to.
Who's Tom?
Tom was the guy who was everyone's friend on MySpace. He was like the first friend.
Wait, Joe, yeah. did you ever have MySpace?
Yeah, good question.
No, I just stalked people on MySpace.
But if you had MySpace, you had to know who Tom was.
Wait, you had a MySpace burner account?
So Tom was your only friend.
All right, hold on a second. So, I mean, I think I stalked people on MySpace, but maybe I didn't. By the way, for all the people out there taking me seriously, it's not stalking, it's looking. Okay,
yeah, it's fine.
It's okay.
We all do that. I mean, certainly our generation does.
Yeah.
Or did.
Still do.
Yeah, maybe. Interesting. I don't remember the specifics. So you had to have an account in order to be able to see deep?
Well, I don't know how deep you were going.
I don't remember.
It was basically like Facebook before Facebook.
Yeah, but did you need to? I don't know. Maybe, I don't know.
Well, the craziest part is, remember you had to rank your top six friends.
Oh yeah, it was. I think it was seven. Was it eight?
Okay.
I thought it was seven.
But
that's
I think
good.
It moved around.
I don't remember that. All right, let's get to Lane Johnson. He talked this week about his future. Very forthcoming answer from, you know, let's be real. Not only someone who's going to be an Eagles Hall of Famer, he's got a shot to be an NFL Hall of Famer. He's had a magnificent career. Eagles still very lucky that he wasn't taken third in that draft when Deion Jordan went third. And, you know, it's one of the few things Chip did really well here, picking Lane Johnson with that first pick, the fourth overall pick in 2013. Magnificent career. How many more years? Well, time will tell, but Lane Johnson has some thoughts. Here's what he said this week.
And Howie draft offensive lineman high in anticipation of with Kelsey and Jordan, of course. Mm-hmm. They didn't take a tackle in this draft when there was a good class.
Yeah.
Give the team any kind of indication of how many years you want to still play? And do you have like a number in your head?
Yeah, I mean, like, I think physically I could play. I think I could do what Whitworth did, and JP, I think I could play till 40 just with my movement. You ask coaches, ask players, I think physically I can do it. What weighs on my mind is just, you know, my kids are getting older, my dad's getting older, you know, had some health issues, so, you know, I'm thinking, you know, two or three more years realistically, but, you know, we'll see. You know, it's hard to step away from something you love and something that you've done for so long. And I think, you know, for me, I grew up as an only child, so this is really like the only brothers that I've had, you know, being a part of a team. So, but yeah, those are things that weigh on my mind. But, you know, at least two or three more good years.
Fascinating answer. You know, talking about the father getting older and the kids getting older and, you know, obviously going different spots. You know, the kids moving toward, you know, whatever they would be, I guess, you know, teenagers at some point here. And the dad, obviously, on the more older. You know, the human dynamic for a player, you know, I think sometimes we don't think enough about. You know, I remember there was one year Doug Glanville struggled with the Phillies. His dad was sick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean,
yeah,
that's real stuff. You know, that affects everyone in society when it happens to you, whether you work, you know, at the post office, you're a teacher, you're, you know, you work in investments, or you're a football player.
Yeah, on a lesser scale, I think with rookies, it's really hard, too. You know, just the lifestyle of going
totally
to a different city. But with Lane, you know, I thought what was interesting about how he talked about it was you can tell he truly is still just playing because he loves it. Talking about, you know, how his brothers are the ones in the locker room because he was an only child.
I mean, that's key.
He is financially set for life. He is an Eagles Hall of Famer, you know, to your point, maybe an NFL Hall of Famer. So he's still compensated well, but what I get from listening to that is he's still playing because he really just wants to do it.
You know, the NFL Hall of Famer thing is going to be interesting because a couple years ago he came out and said he doesn't think he should make it. And this is before he put a few more years of excellence out there, but he said because of the PED thing.
Yeah. And that's a thing, you know?
But, you know, maybe it'll be so early in his career that...
No, you're right. It's almost forgotten about. I mean,
it
we
really
we
is.
Never bring it up unless we talk about the Hall of Fame. That's the only time it comes up.
We don't, and he's still, what, one strike away from being out for a year?
Yeah, I mean, 2 years, I think, isn't it?
That's suspension that, like, sunk that season. Remember, killed, they were 3-1, I think.
3-0.
3-0,
they had just beaten Pittsburgh 35-3.
Yep, then they lost Lane and went, I don't know, 2-8.
That was a disaster. All right, 215-592-9494. So your reaction on the Phils and obviously the Dotson trade yesterday. Also up ahead, what Dan Orlovsky said about the acquisition of Dotson. Plus, Trey Turner on his and the Philly struggles. Nick Foles weighing in on the Philly special. Some fascinating audio really deep inside that remarkable play. And Jalen Hurts as he gets ready for the start of the season. Plus, beat the hammer at 7:45. Your phone calls on all these topics. Show to camera. Elliot in for John today on Nick James. Bruce in town. Slander from Short Parks.
Whoa. No slander. I just don't know many of his songs.
Well, that's...
I'm excited for him to play this one. That'll be a cool moment.
There are some artists that need to play. They don't, but they should play their best song. It's the first song, middle of the set, and to end the night.
Great take by
But Bruce is not one of those people. He's got enough in his arsenal. He doesn't need to... But I'll tell you, if you go see, you know, I don't know, pick a random. I mean, something that's got a one or two hit wonder. You know, if you don't give me that song three or four times, I'm disappointed.
100%. I agree. First, middle, end. I mean, just that's what most people want to hear. Yeah. It's the best moment of the concert.
Like, Aha, Take on Me. Not that that concert would probably be any good. Who knows if they even tour. But, I mean, what else do they have?
Honestly, just play it back to back.
What else do they have? All right. So, Devin, I noticed in the update, you know, you referenced the Eagles-Washington, the rare in-division trade, and it is. So I'm thinking here, the last... I don't know if this is the last time the Eagles and Washington made a trade, but it might be Donovan. So, no one won that trade, right? I mean, the Eagles got a safety that couldn't play, and the Washington got a quarterback that couldn't play.
The Eagles got a second-round pick, right?
Yeah, they got a second-round pick, but the safety stunk. I mean, he was like, I mean, look.
Was it Nate Allen, right?
Nate Allen. He wasn't much. Seltzer, who won that trade?
Nobody.
Did the Eagles win the trade because they stuck the other team with the more important position of struggle?
Yeah, I think the Eagles won.
I guess so. Sure. Yeah. Right? If there has to be a winner.
But to what you're going at, I think, when's the last time the Eagles acquired a player from in the division that worked out for the Eagles?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, Brian Mitchell did.
Yeah, it's a special team.
Saquon hopefully will, obviously. But in the division, acquisition... that worked out for the Eagles. So Darren Smith did not from the Cowboys. Chris Boniel did not from the Cowboys.
DeMarco Murray didn't.
DeMarco Murray did not.
Miles Austin.
Miles Austin did not work out. Okay, hold on.
There was that linebacker from Washington. They had
Ryan Kerrigan was horrible.
Kerrigan was bad. All right. Well, this is not good here.
Anything else on the Giants?
Steve Smith didn't work.
Yeah.
So I did like that safety they had. He played for Parcells early in his career. And then Greg Jackson, right? He was a safety on the 90, either 5 or 6 team. So he was good. You had Greg Jackson, Mike Zordich back there as your safeties. And I think Doc took his job eventually. He was good for a year or two. But you're right. It's pretty rare.
Yeah, and you know, I do think if you go through that list of players, like really only DeMarco Murray was in his prime, quote unquote.
Well, he wasn't, but we thought he might be.
Like Kerrigan, Miles Austin, those guys were at the end of their career.
They were cooked.
It's not a good list.
Well, this is a different kind of trade. I mean, a first rounder, Dotson acquired. Obviously, there's upside, but he hasn't put it all together yet. That's clear. And you know, talk from Washington that he wasn't putting, you know, whether you call it all the effort or focus or energy into this season. So that's not good. Look, Nick Foles, he put energy, effort, and everything into Super Bowl 52. What he said this week, fascinating. A real deep dive breakdown on the Philly special. We're going to get to that in just a moment. Let's get to Jerry right now. Another Philly's loss last night. Good morning, Jerry. Jerry, not ready to go. That's a shame. We go to Gary. He's calling from New Jersey. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good, buddy.
I thought it was really nice of you guys to let it go when the guy that was railing on Topper said that he took Kingery out too soon.
I noticed that. I was very confused, and I just thought, let's just move on. Yeah.
You're very forgiving, Jeff.
Very forgiving on the Friday.
I heard it. Oh, I'm getting ready for Beat the Hammer. You know, my mind's elsewhere.
I heard L.A. talking the other day. He was talking about hitting coaches. And basically what he said is he could fix something. He could fix if there's something wrong with their swing. He sees it on tape. But if it's mental, then there's nothing he could do. And I think that's where it's at. I mean, I know Topper's not doing the best job in the world, but.
Well, I don't agree with you on if it's mental, there's nothing he can do. I would tend to guess, Gary, being a hitting coach is largely about helping players through mental struggles. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's a couple sports where it really can get mental, frankly, fast. Hitting in baseball is one. I am certain golf is another. You know, I don't think football, it's much like that. Now, the kicker thing, you got that element. I think a wide receiver sometimes gets the dropsies. But, you know, the reality is any kind of coach in sports to a certain extent has to be pseudo-psychologist. And so, I'm not saying run this, you know, long guy out of town. I think that's – I mean, what do I know that he's not doing his job? The players who are paid a lot of money have to play better, period. Whether it's mental or not, they have to play better. It's their job.
Well, what was the approach last night? I was watching the first –
Well, it's over-aggressive, clearly. It's clearly an over-aggressive approach, and – You know, Rob Thompson talked about that after the game, and he's not wrong. And to the point Elliot made earlier, maybe that is just who they are.
Well, I don't think it's maybe. It's clearly their fatal flaw. When they lose in the playoffs this year, I guarantee you the next day we will be talking about. I think Schwarber, Harper, and Turner went like 3-for-22 in this series. Yeah. It's like rewatching the same thing over and over.
But if you, I'm watching last night. The first pitcher was grooving them over the middle of the plate, first pitch, and they're taking them. The next guy's throwing curveballs, and they're swinging at balls in the dirt. Like, I don't. The approach is just so...
Well, they're out of whack right now. They are. Gary, give me what had a moment.
Well, this was kind of crushed by Metallica, and then Metallica was crushed by South Park, Napster.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, great answer. Wow.
Napster's a wonderful answer. There's no question about it. All right, Nick Foles, he obviously had a moment. You know, he was on a podcast with Chris Long this week, and a fascinating description... Probably more than I've ever heard him say. I mean, maybe he said it before, but I don't remember him going this deep before on the Philly special. What went into it, his thinking during it, his thinking after it. Nick Foles, this is a little bit over a minute, so bear with it. It's great stuff. Great stuff. Nick Foles on the Philly special.
Right before this, so there was a timeout. I don't know if you remember watching us all week in practice, but we had a speed option from the shotgun.
Yes.
And every time we butchered it, and it was awful. That was actually the play that was called. And then we called a timeout. And I ran over to the sidelines and asked for Philly. To this day, I have no clue why I asked for Philly. Because it's Philly special. I've thought NFL films, like, and now with artificial intelligence, I know that you can create voiceovers and stuff. So part of me that thinks that could have happened, but in reality, my brain was just probably in a weird state. When Doug and I talked about this, because we were going to rep this against the Vikings in the NFC Championship game, but we decided not to, and I just threw a touchdown to Alshon, made it easy, got to save the play. We were going to run this second half to go up by 2 scores,
mm-hmm.
not first half to get up in general. And Doug trusted me enough because he knew me enough to know, yeah. Nick is feeling this. Let's execute this. Because he could have overrode this play call. But yeah. He pauses and he said, let's do it. And then we run this. And I remember going up there, you know, we had a shift. We had to have like some acting that took some time, like right here. And Lane was the trigger for Kels to snap the ball to Corey. And then, you know, Trey makes an amazing throw. I mean, people don't realize like Trey made an awesome throw that made it easy for me. But I was just worried about the DN right here. But the second he went down and I paused and I was out, I was just like, look this ball all the way in and just catch it and tuck it and score. And I didn't realize what this play would be for the city of Philadelphia or even the NFL. I just realized, like, man, this play worked to put us up on the Patriots going into halftime.
What an unbelievable moment in Philadelphia sports history. And obviously hearing Foles detail like that, pretty damn cool. You know what I don't have a sense of? I feel like I and maybe all of us are too close to it to know. Where does that rank in NFL Super Bowl lore? I mean, I know it's up there, but where up there? Is it top five? Is it top 10?
Great question.
Top 3? Like, I don't know.
I mean, there aren't, as we've discussed, there aren't that many named plays in the history of the sport.
I mean, Santonio Holmes' catch.
And not many have happened in the Super Bowl, as far
right.
as it goes.
So Santonio Holmes had a great catch, obviously, in that same game. I mean, I think the linebacker.
The James Harrison play.
James Harrison
that,
play
the
was
100-yard return.
Right?
I'm
with
you, dude.
You had the Don Beebe play, even though they're down by 77 points to Leon Lett. I mean, yeah, you've had a lot, of course.
Do you think it dings the play?
Eli Manning's is bigger. Eli Manning.
Catch is bigger. The helmet catch is bigger.
Philadelphia, I'm not saying it's bigger for me. I'm saying it's bigger for the nation.
That's another named play in the Super Bowl. There aren't many.
What is that name?
The helmet catch.
The helmet catch, yeah.
Do you think the play? So I think almost any list would have the Philly special top 10, in my opinion.
I would think so.
But do you think it gets dinged by the fact that it really didn't involve any great players? Like, we all love Nick Foles. But does it matter that ultimately it was not Eli Manning special? But I'm saying in terms of where it,
nationally.
I agree it makes it more special.
No, I get what you're
how
saying.
How it's viewed.
I understand.
I mean, it's not Peyton Manning. It's not Tom Brady.
But it's not Montana to John Taylor
exactly.
to win it near the end.
Like if Tom Brady had pulled it off, which he didn't, but if he had, then yeah, it probably would have been.
Yeah, no, I get it. I don't know. It's up there.
What's interesting about that clip is it just kind of shows how much the result matters versus the call. Doug was getting ready to call a play that Nick acknowledged they were terrible with all week in practice. And Nick was going to call it. And then, of course, they switch it. So that is some really cool behind the scenes
stuff. Well, and also, if they don't take the timeout, they don't run the Philly special.
Yeah.
I mean, just period. Because they were going to do something else. And the timeout is essentially what gave Nick the time to say, hey, how about this? All right, let's go. And by the way, I still got to rip the statue. There's a statue down by the stadium. I'm not ripping the statue. Whoever put this whole freaking thing together. The statue has, I mean, it's great. It's a tremendous likeness of Foles and Peterson. It's a beautiful statue. I'm glad it's there.
So what's the issue?
I don't care if Carson was offended. And I don't know that he was, but if he was, tough cookies.
Yeah.
The statue at the bottom says, do you want Philly Philly? Which it should say. It also should say Doug's answer. Yeah. Let's do it. It doesn't have that.
Nah.
Yes.
I think it's both. Do you want Philly Philly?
It's both.
It's Doug. Foles just said it. Foles could have overruled me.
He didn't say it.
We know he called the play.
But
Elliot's sitting there going, did he say yes?
Chip Kelly would not have taken the feedback and done it.
That's different than discussing what should be.
No, that's the heart of the matter. You had a coach who had a heart.
Does anybody see the statue?
He was smart.
Does anybody see the statue?
Believe in his players.
Oh, by the way, let me just get this off my chest while we're here. I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. I say it about once a year. I'm going to say it again. Major mistake by the Eagles about 5 or 6 years ago, and there may be no going back on it, although I will still advocate they should. When they won the Super Bowl, they had a damn big banner up. I don't know if banner is the right term. They had a big sign up that faced out to I-95. Like, we won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Okay? They took it down, I think, when that season was about to begin in 2018. It should have never come down.
Disagree.
It should have been. Look, I know in 2018 it was like, let's move on to the next season, and that's proper, but it is improper is not the right. It's unwise to remove that banner. I want every Eagles fan from now until forever going along 95 to see that. And I want every freaking Washington loser, every New York loser, every Boston loser. Look, they're not losers from like a title standpoint because they all got more than we got here. Okay, Washington's got their freaking three. New England's got
six.
Isn't
that why they shouldn't?
The Giants got four.
Don't they have a huge
Super
Bowl?
Keep it up.
Didn't they replace Carson with a big image of the Lombardi?
Well, they shouldn't keep a big image of Carson up.
No, yeah. I'm saying I think they do have.
But they don't have the face out Super Bowl 52.
You won it on 95.
Super Bowl 52 champs because they always are.
I disagree with that.
Okay,
let's move on. Let's go to the phones.
I thought that was a mistake. 215-592-9494. We're gonna get to something Jalen Hurts said recently, and also Darius Slay on Jalen Hurts. That shortly. Reminder: Pete the Hammer, of course, in 15 minutes. Chuck in Mount Airy right now, who's very lucky he's not the contestant at Beat the Hammer. And I love Chuck, but otherwise he'd get his ass kicked. Good morning, Chuck.
Hey, yo, you remember when we went at it before? Yeah, you ain't do so well. You only answered two questions.
Who won, Chuck?
You only answered two. It was 2-1. It was 2-1. You beat me 2-1.
So I doubled your score. That's like winning a basketball game 100-50. Right? I doubled your score.
I'd still pick Chuck.
I didn't know what to expect. I mean, I think if I...
Well, I don't know what to expect either. I never know what to expect.
Yeah, if I got you again, I think this time I'll get you.
Well, I'll just say this, Chuck. One of two things applied, obviously. Either you didn't know the content, or you did know the content, and you choked. Either way, loser.
I don't choke, buddy. You know what I'm saying?
All right, Chuck, what do you got on the Phillies, my man? Talk to me on the Phillies. What's going on with our squad?
It's going to get ugly. That's what I'm going to tell you. It's going to get ugly like a 70-year-old hooker. I'm telling you, it's going to get ugly.
No.
71-56 on the Royals record. The Astros are 69-58. The Royals are in the best division in baseball. They're chasing the Guardians. And this is on the road.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. In fact, thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's going to get ugly. It's going to get ugly, I'm telling you. So you guys better buckle up. This is a disappointment, I tell you, if I've ever seen one.
Yeah, Chuck. I agree.
And get this thing back on track.
Yeah, I agree. To me, this looks broken. It looks like the magic is gone. The team that they were, I mean, I remember every day in the playoffs last year wearing the Do It for Chuck from Mount Airy shirt. That feels like a lifetime ago from where this team is at now.
It's a wrap, Elliot. You know what, Elliot? I look more forward to training camp and your numbers than watching the Phillies play. You know what I mean?
Same here, Chuck.
Hey, man, listen. I got to give you props, man. You know, you're taking this thing national. Man, people are actually taking what you're doing, Elliot. And trying to take credit for it.
Something I appreciate it.
I agree with you, Chuck. Chuck, I agree with you entirely. I think Elliot has done magnificent work through his whole career, but specifically the training camp.
Trailblazer, a trendsetter, whatever you want to call it.
Settle.
Rain it in. You missed it yesterday. Elliot, I'm surprised you haven't brought up your line movement yet this entire show.
Oh, yeah. This
what?
Is,
yeah. Listen to this. Listen to this.
Okay, I'm saying it.
Yeah,
okay,
I'll let you say it.
All right, so the Eagles were 1.5-point favorites against the Packers. Over the last few days, it has moved an entire point to 2.5. Is it safe to say that's because of the training camp stats and all the buzz about only one interception? What else would it be? What else has happened in the game?
Well, they just got a new receiver.
But no, that was prior.
Before that.
There's been
maybe we found out that the other team's not going to play certain players.
No, I
everything,
don't think that's
in
week
guy?
One.
In week one.
Oh, I thought you were saying the Packers line.
Oh, week one.
God. All right. Hey, Chuck, give me a great answer. Other than Elliot, we need a what? What had a moment, Chuck?
It wasn't Jahan Dotson in that move, that lineup. He stinks. So I just want to let you guys do that.
Chuck, what a breath of fresh air you
are. All right, Chuck, what had a moment, my man?
Linsanity.
That's a who. That ain't working. No. You can't.
All right, fine. No, but it was a moment.
Of course it was. But we're asking what had a moment.
It was definitely a moment. Who had a moment?
Yeah. All right, let's get to Trey Turner. He had a moment last year with the standing ovation. But, man, oh, man, struggles lately. Let's listen to Trey after the game last night. He has been struggling. The team has been struggling, particularly on offense lately. They've gotten some better starting pitching recently. I mean, real recently. But the offense is not hitting. The Braves series, they barely hit. Here's Trey Turner on the offensive struggles.
We just got to get it rolling. I think all of us in general, it's kind of weird that we're all struggling at the same time. Not only when you have a good lineup, some guys here or there, but it's kind of weird that a lot of us are there.
So how do you look at that? Is that like a concern for you guys with 35 games to play? Or?
I don't think it's a concern. It's more weird, for us. I don't think it's anything, we're necessarily doing wrong. We're preparing. We do all our stuff we normally do. We're, having fun. We got a good mindset. We're just not clicking. There's still time left. Obviously, we want to play well. But, it's starting to get to that, point in the season where it's play well or go home type deal. And I don't think we're under any stress or pressure or anything like that. But more so, we just want to play well. We know what we're capable of, and we expect it out of ourselves.
Well, I'm glad he's feeling a sense of urgency with it. I mean, you hear that in his comments. Now, you hear a lot of players and the manager making comments these days where they eschew. Is that the right term? They eschew the concept of concern.
That's the right term.
They all like to say they're not concerned, but, it's grabbed their attention. Look, the whole damn thing's grabbed all of our attention. I mean, they are in their last 64 games 30-34. That is not good. Now, it's kind of like what they were in April and May the last 2 years. It's not totally dissimilar, if you will, or if you extrapolate it out into June when they started coming back from being 8 games below .500 or 7 games below .500 the other year. So, it's almost like the season has been inverted, if you will, from prior campaigns. I mean, here's what we know. they can be great, but haven't been now for 2.5 months. And we also know other teams have, you know, crept up on them. The Dodgers, by the way, now like 1.5 up on the Phillies. By the way, for the first time this year, I'm starting to take notice of, and I think it's incredibly likely they'll make the playoffs, but for what it's worth, the Phillies are only 7.5 games in front of a playoff spot now. Mm. By the way, I said it earlier this week inaccurately. Let me just say, for anyone who heard when I said they were up like 12 and I was wrong because I looked at the wrong freaking column, I think that day it was like 8 or 8.5. Now it's 7.5. So make of it what you will. It's been, they're playing with some fire. I don't agree with Elliott's assertion they've lost the magic. I mean, right now they're not playing with it, mm-hmm. but I'm not ready to say, Elliott, that they're that is gone. I know they haven't shown it yet lately, but I've seen this team the last 2 years struggle at various points of the regular season, including, by the way, you know, in 2022, after they had come back from 21-29, and they climbed all the way back, not only into it, but like playoff positioning in a pretty solid spot. And then in September, 2 years ago, a lot of people probably forget this, 2 years ago in September, they had two different five-game losing streaks. Mm-hmm. And then they had, you know, as magic carpet ride as you're ever going to have, until the very end when obviously they lost game 6 to Houston in that series. But I'm not ready to say they've lost them. I think they've lost innocence. I think the town views them differently. But I wouldn't say yet that the magic is truly gone.
Well, I'm happy you brought up the September 2 years ago, because I think sometimes what we do with this team is act like they are a juggernaut team. But really what they've been over the past 2 years is a above average team that's gotten hot in the playoffs. And that's what made them special and magical to me. It wasn't that they were an outstanding roster that just dominated the league. It was when I needed a big hit from them, when they needed a big win, when they needed a big inning, they got it in the playoffs pretty consistently. And that's why I feel, in fact, I know the magic is gone, because this season, over the past, 2 months, whenever they have had a chance to make a statement, they have blown that opportunity. Again, 2-6 in their last 8 chances to win a series in that third game when it's 1-1. Last night, top of the 9th, they have Harper up there, and he's out like that. When's the last time this team has done something to make you feel that they can do it in a big moment? It's been too long for me. So you're right. They've had stretches where they've struggled, and they've come out of it and all that. The magical thing to me is I just don't trust them anymore. And it's been a while since I felt that way.
Earlier in the show, James said something along the lines of, like, now when they're down in a game, I don't have faith when I'm watching that they're going to be able to fight their way back. Because they don't seem to have any fight. And what I thought was interesting in that Trey Turner bite was he said, we're still having fun. There were several moments throughout that Braves series where the body language and the actions did not support that statement. Bryson Stott slammed his bat, not in a good way, after he hit that fly out to center field. Like, they're clearly very frustrated. Bryce Harper's body language is horrendous. He just looks completely defeated and frustrated. So I think that that's also a big part of it, and I don't know how to kind of get them back to a point where they're having fun.
Well, ultimately,
I'd
say
it's
Rob Thompson's job, and it's Kyle Schwarber's job.
Yeah, isn't it Bryce's job?
Well, look, it's his job as well, but I think we all know that there are times in sports when the best player isn't the best leader. And I'm not saying this to denigrate Bryce or rip him. There are, I mean, let's take 93. Lenny Dykstra was the best player. Darren Dalton was the leader. That's okay.
I think you're excusing Bryce here. We can't do the whole Bryce is the best athlete in the city by a wide margin. And then when they're struggling, go, well, if you think about it, Schwarber actually has something to do with it too. Like, it is on Bryce. Bryce is the
tend to be pretty easy on Bryce Harper
to a large extent. But I'll say this: he's also done an awful lot.
He's earned it.
But a lot of guys have done things to earn it. Joel's done a lot of things. Jalen's done a lot of things.
But Bryce has done 10 times more in 2 postseasons than Joel has done
Bryce
in 7 postseasons.
Bryce hit one of the 2 biggest home runs in the history of the franchise,
100%,
man.
100%. But Joel has been one of the best players in the NBA for 5 or 6 years or whatever.
Right.
And it's still, when they struggle, it's on Joel.
Yeah.
It's on Joel. It's different. I get that.
You know,
but I get that.
All right. So, by the way, coming up in 5 minutes, Beat the Hammer. Obviously, I've been on a phenomenal roll. I think maybe one loss in 10 months or something. Yeah.
Maybe it's not quite that much, but it's been ridiculous. It's been a stretch.
Yeah. All right, in 5 minutes, Beat the Hammer. Contest line, caller number 5. Caller 5 in the contest line, 215-988-1258. Caller 5, you'll compete in Beat the Hammer, 215-988-1258. 12:58. Know your sports. You'll be the competitor in 5 minutes. By the way, let's get to today's Twitter poll question of the day. It is brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Check out Armin's selection of quality, one-owner, pre-owned vehicles at ArminChevy.com. That's ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. Now, in addition to all the Phillies talk, obviously there's a lot going on here with the Eagles as well. I want to play two pieces of audio related to Jalen Hurts calls and obviously Pete the Hammer. Let's start with Hurts himself, asked this week about Kellen Moore's system, his implementation into it. And then he pivots, I thought, in a very interesting way into his mindset. Thought this was pretty fascinating, frankly. Here's Jalen Hurts earlier this week.
Your level of comfortability operating out of the system, you know, compared
it's just been, you know, it's been work. You know, this is what I told the team the other day, and it's about how you handle frustration, you know. It's about how you handle these moments. It's like everything you do is about how you respond to it. And so we want to be a team that responds to adversity the right way. We want to be a team that embraces certain things because we know that it's going to propel us forward. We know that there's purpose behind that friction. We know that there's purpose behind that frustration. And so learn from it. You know, you may have wanted to do something better. Maybe someone didn't communicate something good enough. You know, Coach Doug tells us all the time, I didn't tell you what I should have told you right there. I take that. You know, and then there's times where I do the same thing to him and whatnot, or to my guys, you know, O-line receivers, whatnot. So it's just a thing of embracing the journey and trusting the process and trusting your work.
Elliot in for John today, by the way. John will be back next week as we get really close to the football season. Elliot, did Hurts come back different this year? The guy.
Yes.
Because what I hear there I love is the guy kind of different.
That quote from him right there, forget what he said. Just the way he said it, to me, he just sounds different than last year.
And that one he did. Not all the time, but that one he really did.
I think for the most part in training camp, Jalen looks way happier than he did last year. I think the whole team, Nick too, they're not carrying the weight of losing that Super Bowl. I do think Jalen came back a different person this year.
All right, let's listen to Darius Slay, because he actually references, it's interesting, in this cut you're about to hear, not only praise for Jalen, but specifically refers to it as a different version of Jalen. Here's Darius Slay this week talking about the Eagles starting quarterback.
One guy on the team is going to have a
pick. If I got one guy to pick, man, I just want, for us to get to where we need to go, I need Hurst to have the biggest season ever. So, you know, he the steer of the team. You know, of course, it takes all of us, but we know that quarterback position is very important to win games.
From him in this camp that makes you believe that could happen?
Just because he's been the consistency, the way he's been playing, the way he's preparing, the way that him and AJ and all the guys communicating, trying to get on time. You know what I'm saying? I just seen a different version of him this year, and I'm hoping for, you know, it turns over to the field, to games.
It's great stuff. I mean, there's no other way to look at it other than to say the arrow's pointing up there, and that's really good. 215-592-9494. All right, Pete the Hammer, it's a little game we do every single Friday at this time. Now, I mean, I dominate. I've lost, you know, okay, 41 times, but I've won 257. It's getting ridiculous. And you guys know my goal ultimately is 1,000.
Yeah.
We were doing the math the other day. We think it might be between my wins. Of course, there's one or two or three losses a year. And then, obviously, you know, the occasional vacation, whether it's me or Seltzer, I probably average 40-plus wins a year. So I think in, you know, close to, you know, a little bit under 20 years, get to 1,000
victories.
Oh, my
God.
Let's play a game on the way to 1,000 called Beat the Hammer.
Beat the Hammer. It's time for Beat the Hammer on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Right. So let's just start with this before we get to our contestant. Elliot, you were a disaster last time as the clockkeeper.
100%.
You made sounds.
Whoa. Actually, now I'm going to push back. You were also a bit of a baby about it. I made one little noise during
noise.
I couldn't even hear it.
From the clockkeeper or anybody else on the show.
I have interviewed LeBron James, Tom Brady. I've covered Super Bowls.
No, you didn't interview.
I don't get any more.
You might have asked LeBron.
I asked him a question. What else would you call
that? No. That's at a press conference.
Yes.
That's not an interview.
Okay. Well, I asked LeBron a question.
Fake news. Elliot Sherparks, fake news.
Well, I was going to give you a compliment, but now I might not finish my point. I've never been more nervous than having to keep time for you as Beat the Hammer. So I will gladly pass this off to Devin.
Now, yeah. Elliot literally just turned to me during that open and mouth, like, hey, can you do
yeah,
the time,
I'm, yeah, I'm,
wow.
So I got it.
Wow.
I can do the time. All right. Don't worry about it.
Fair. And so, I was comparing you to LeBron and Tom Brady, but apparently
I'll
you
I'll take
weren't.
It. All right, Seltzer, so how many seconds for Devin here? 55?
55.
All right, 55 seconds. By the way, our contestant, will meet him in a moment. He's going to be playing. This is a cool prize, a Philadelphia Eagles car bundle. It includes license plate frame, key ring, window decal, auto badge, and a key strap. So all sorts of good stuff. Unless you go up to New York and then maybe, you know, someone will vandalize your car because, you know, we're Eagles fans. But around here, you'll get nothing but love. Let's talk to our contestant. His name is Jackson. Jackson, what's going on, buddy?
Hello, la, la, la.
Hello, Jackson. So do you know your sports, Jackson?
Yes, sir.
I mean, for real, for real?
You've ever been to Cape May, Joe, right?
I've been on the way to Cape May and at Cape May, and then, of course, on the way home from Cape May.
Do you know the ugly mug?
I know your face.
Oh.
Got it.
No, I mean, maybe I know the ugly mug, but I don't remember being in there, but maybe I was.
Well, my grandfather used to own that place.
Yeah, but very nice. And that relevancy to sports
we'll
is what?
There if I beat you. Set.
What's the relevancy to sports that your grandfather owned something called the ugly mug?
Oh, that's what I was talking about, your ugly mug.
Ah, there you go. I like your style, Jackson. You were setting up a joke. I just kind of got there first. All right, Jackson, good luck to you, buddy. I'm going to step into the soundproof kitchen. Good luck, pal.
All right, Scram, get out of here. As he, I'm sure, slowly makes his
very
way.
Slowly.
You know, very shaking slowly. Hands, doing all the, you know, hammer thing.
He is, you know, behind the scenes, he is legitimately nervous. Like, sometimes
always.
I think you guys just say it. You can feel the tension.
Why do you think he freaked out at you when you made a tiny little noise? Because he takes this way too seriously. Yes.
Well,
yes.
The great ones do.
Yeah, okay. All right. Is he safely ensconced in the soundproof freezer?
Yes.
All right. Jackson, you ready to play a little game we call Beat the Hammer? Let's do it. All right. Our category for the week, we're going to give a happy birthday shout-out to WIP's own Mr. Hugh Douglas. Happy birthday, Hugh, and in honor of you, not Hugh, Hugh and you, we're doing a little Hugh Douglas trivia today. You ready to roll, my friend?
All right, let's do this.
Not a great start. Not a great start. 55 seconds, Jackson. The clock will start as soon as I have finished asking the first question. Here we go. Okay. Question number one. Hugh Douglas's first season with the Eagles was in 1998. Three quarterbacks started a game for the Eagles that season. Name one.
Jim McMahon.
Hugh Douglas had 15 sacks for the Eagles in the 2000 season. Only two other Eagles had more than five sacks that season. Name one of them.
Mike Reese.
How many seasons did Hugh play in Jacksonville?
One.
Hugh had two sacks in his playoff debut in 2000. What team did the Eagles play in that game?
Repeat the question.
Hugh had two sacks in his playoff debut in 2000. What team did the Eagles play in that game?
The Lions.
Since he joined the team in 1998, there are only three players who have had more sacks for the Eagles than Hugh Douglas. Name two of them.
Time.
All right, we got one. You can get shut out, Jackson. I'm going to guess this will be a loss, but we will find out. We're going to put you on hold. We'll wave the hammer back in there.
Oh, Hugh's going to like this. This is a nice tribute.
Yeah, shout out to Hugh, right?
Yeah, shout out to
Hugh. I mean, it's our guy.
Is his birthday today?
His birthday is today.
Wow, I got to text him a happy
birthday. How about that? This is my way of texting you, Hugh. Happy birthday, my friend.
Will Joe dedicate this to you?
I can only hope, right?
All right. Hello.
Hello.
Was it no music?
Oh, yeah. Music?
No, that was my bad. You're right.
Oh, that
music.
What the
hell, there we go. Yeah, well, you know.
You go on vacation this week and you come back and just put your feet up on the desk?
Yeah. You're gonna yell at him.
What are you, Fritz?
Well, a little inside baseball. I always forget the music. Joe Wechter sits in the eye view of me and he's always reminding me to play the music. And today I forgot to look at Joe. So that's on me.
Okay.
Yep.
So is that Wechter's fault or what?
No, I said that's on me. That was literally the last phrase I said. That's on me.
Okay.
All right. Can I own it anymore?
I got a bad feeling about this one. I'm just going to say
okay,
that.
Okay, good.
I don't feel good.
Good.
Well, I mean, I'm unshaven. Great. I'm disheveled. Got the glasses on. This is not
good. You got
good.
An ugly mug. We not. All right. You ready to roll here?
Sure, sure.
All right. You did not hear it. We're doing a little happy birthday to our guy, Hugh Douglas. It is Hugh Douglas's birthday today. We're doing a little Hugh Douglas trivia. You ready to roll?
Hugh Douglas
trivia. How about it?
Holy mackerel. All right. Jim Miller's got to be one of the answers.
You ready to roll?
And Sean King might be the other. Let's go.
Question number one. Hugh Douglas's first season with the Eagles was in 1998. Three quarterbacks started a game for the Eagles that season. Name one of them.
Detmer.
Hugh Douglas had 15 sacks for the Eagles in the 2000 season. Only two other Eagles had more than five sacks that season. Name one of them.
In 2000?
Yes.
Corey Simon.
How many seasons did Hugh play in Jacksonville?
Okay, I'm going to talk this out loud. My answer will be when I tell you. So he was here still through 02. He went there for 1 year back in 04. The answer is one.
Hugh had two sacks in his playoff debut in 2000. What team did the Eagles play in that game?
2000 debut, that's the Buccaneers.
Since he joined the team in 1998, there are only three players who have had more sacks for the Eagles than Hugh Douglas. Name two of them.
Trent Cole and Fletcher Cox.
Yeah! 5 for 5! And it could have been 1,000, and it would have been a freaking 1,000 for 1,000. You come at me with Hugh Douglas, I come back with a dub. A W. In honor of Hugh, who I got nothing but love for, and yeah, jammed Jim Miller's freaking shoulder in the ground. That was great. And yeah, climbed up the back of Sean King, and that was great. That bum, that guy stunk. God bless you. God bless the Hammer. Victory 258. Now, I'm assuming Jackson didn't get five. I mean,
no,
we could have overtime.
I'm waiting for the day where you go nuts at five, and I get to tell you it's a tie, but it's not today.
So this guy got one? Let me talk to this guy. Jackson, you came in a little flippant. I couldn't tell if you were trying to play possum or you just didn't know your stuff.
Yeah, you know, it should have been the 97 Flyers team, and I would have gotten all five. But, you know, here we are. It's like, when you wake up in the morning, do you get dressed in the mirror, Joe?
All right, Jackson, I'm going to ask you a question, and we're going to find out your knowledge of the 97 Flyers. Which Flyer from 1997 had won a Stanley Cup with the Calgary Flames?
One.
Joel Otto.
What a deep cut
in
that
the
is.
In the words of
Joe
Jim,
just showing off
in the
right
words
now.
Of Jim Calhoun, get some facts and come back and see me. And yeah, I hung
get
up on
get some facts and come back and see me.
And by the way, Seltzer, do me a favor and look that up, make sure I'm right, because I think I am. But there's about a 1% chance I'm not. And with that, victory 258, Pete the Hammer. Let's shut it down.
Beat the Hammer on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
I think he was on that team with Theo Fleury and Mike Vernon in, 89, I believe it was. For
yeah,
the
I was going to say 88. It's either 88 or 89.
No, 88, the Edmonton still won. It was 89.
Can
All right.
Can I just give a PSA to our guy Jackson and anyone who wants to call in as a contestant on Beat the Hammer? Why on earth would it be the Flyers in the end of all?
Thank you, Devin.
Like,
yes.
Have an awareness for the current events
and
around
the 97 Flyers,
right.
Specifically.
That's great.
Right. Like kind of think about where we are
in the sports
cycle.
I've never
right
got
now.
To see you go 5 for 5. That was impressive.
Well, I've
that
seen it. I've seen
a real thrill.
You were
never
correct about
it.
Joel Otto as well. Yeah. He was a Stanley Cup champ.
That guy didn't know his 90. He couldn't even tell you it was Hexie and Garcinot. That guy. Mm. Get out of here with that guy. All right. So we will now take the third caller in the contest. I call her three because I dedicate this victory to Bryce Harper and the bounce back that is soon to happen.
Love it.
For Bryce and the Phillies. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not John Ritchie as the fullback of Philadelphia Sports back in the day as the fullback for the three-headed monster. It's the Hammer looking out for Philly Sports. I dedicate this victory. Notice, Seltzer, I do it after I won. Okay? Instead of dedicating it beforehand. That didn't go so well for me back in the day.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.